When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dabwina Chakraborty.
And I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And we usually save our spookier subjects for the fall and Halloween, of course, but summer is also a great time to curl up with a good mystery. And today's subject, Edgar Allan Poe, definitely offers that. A famous 19th century writer, poet, critic, and editor known for dabbling in moody and macabre topics, Poe almost really needs no introduction, but of course we're going to give you one anyway.
We can't just skip this whole part.
No, that's what we do. So chances are you've at least heard of Poe, and if you've taken any sort of post-grade school level literature class, you've probably read his work, too, or at least The Eerie, The Raven, which is his most famous piece.
Or even grade school. I think I memorized The Raven sometime in elementary school.
Well, you're very advanced, Sarah.
Oh, so. I don't know about that. I did it dramatically. That's why I chose it. But Poe is also often credited with creating the first modern detective story with his Murders of the Rue Morgue. And ironically, some of the aspects of his own life, particularly the end of his life, are really worthy of the type of fiction he wrote.
Yeah, basically, in the fall of 1849, Poe disappeared for a few days, and when he reappeared, he was in really bad shape. He was delirious, and he appeared to a lot of people to be severely intoxicated, and he died just a few days later. Because of that, initially, many people assumed alcoholism is what ultimately killed Poe, but it really didn't take long for others to start stepping up with alternate theories, some of which seemed just as, if not more, plausible than the alcoholism one. And these theories are still debated today. And I mean, I should go back and say, I mentioned that it didn't take long for people to come up with theories. It took a few years. I mean, it really wasn't investigated at the time. Alcoholism was really the prevailing thought.
So today, though, we're going to take a closer look at Poe's mysterious disappearance and his death and discuss some of those theories about what ultimately led to his demise. But before we can really talk about Poe's death, you know, we said we had to do this introduction. We've got to do more than that, really. We really need to tell you at least a little bit about his life, because it's pretty interesting, too.
It is. He was born Edgar Poe, January 19th, 1809, in Boston, Massachusetts, to two struggling actor parents, David and Elizabeth Arnold Poe. Edgar was actually the second of their children. His older brother, William Henry Leonard, ended up living with their grandparents because of their parents' constant financial struggles. And Poe also had a sister, Rosalie, who was a year younger than him. And Poe had to face hardship and a lot of sadness really early on. His father abandoned the family around the time of, or even before, his sister's birth, at which point Poe, his sister, and his mom all moved to Virginia. And his mom got ill and died the year after his sister was born. So that happened when Poe was only about 2 years old.
So Poe and Rosalie, now basically orphans, were taken in by family friends in Richmond. And Poe ended up living with the merchant John Allen and his wife Frances, who didn't have any kids, while Rosalie went on to live with a neighboring family called the Mackenzies. And the Allens basically treated Poe as their own child. They never legally adopted him, but they educated him and treated him like their son. He started his education in Richmond, and then at age six, he was taken abroad for a bit and continued studying in England and Scotland for about 5 years before he returned to Virginia with the Allens, where he continued his schooling. And lest you start thinking of a little adolescent strange Poe, he seemed like a pretty normal kid. He made friends, was doing all right in school and everything.
However, by his mid-teens or so, Poe discovered that his foster father wasn't exactly being faithful to his foster mother, and this really upset Poe, and it kicked off a very strained relationship between Poe and John Allen, and they argued a lot about that topic. Around this time, Poe also fell in love with a local girl named Sarah Elmira Royster, and she was in love with him too, but in 1826, Poe went off to the University of Virginia.
So Poe is only at the University of Virginia for about 11 months, though. And according to a biography of Edgar Allan Poe by Veronica Loveday, Allen wouldn't give Poe the money he needed to buy school basics like books. So Poe started gambling, ended up racking up a lot of debt, and he also started drinking while he was there. And unfortunately for him, he had a very low tolerance for alcohol. So Allen ultimately refused to let Poe continue spending time at the university.
In the meantime, realizing that Poe's future was really uncertain because of this contentious relationship with his foster father, Royster's parents decided to put a stop to her relationship with Poe. They made sure, for example, that she never received Poe's letters from school, and by the time Poe returned to Richmond, his beloved Sarah was engaged to someone else.
So Poe was understandably devastated by this turn of events, and he decided to go to Boston in the spring of 1827, where he tried his hand at making a living as a writer. And he did publish some stuff. He published his first volume of poetry, Tamerlane and Other Poems, and this was fairly well received, but he could only print a few copies, and at the end of the day, he was still destitute. So he's published, but it didn't bring in the money he was hoping.
So to solve his money issues, he joined the army, and he really actually thrived in the military doing a desk job for a couple of years. He was even promoted from private to the rank of sergeant major. And Poe decided that he wanted to attend West Point. And after a while, Allen agreed to help him fund this. He saw, okay, my foster son is actually doing well
shaping
in the army.
Up.
Yes, maybe I should support this. So Poe was released from the army, and he applied to the military academy. And while he was waiting to be accepted to West Point, he spent a little time in Baltimore getting to know his Poe family again, his grandmother, his brother, and his father's sister, who is his Aunt Mariah Clem. Mariah Clem also had a very young daughter, Virginia. And Poe also published another collection of poems during this time. Soon he was accepted to West Point, though, in 1830, so he had to put down the pen for a little while. But he didn't stay at West Point long either. Again, according to Loveday's article, he learned that John Allen had a pair of twins as a result of one of his affairs. And even though his foster mother was dead by this time, Poe pretty much realized there was no future between him and his foster father. And in fact, I mean, just as an aside, Allen did ultimately leave everything, the whole inheritance, to these twins that he had.
That might have been a good intuition he had there. So set on pursuing a writing career, you know, deciding that this was going to have to be how he'd make his future and his career, Poe took measures to get himself expelled from West Point. He wasn't just going to drop out.
Yeah, and you couldn't just walk away.
No. So according to Encyclopedia Britannica, he just didn't show up at any classes or any drills for a week. And he even tried to spread a rumor that he was the grandson of Benedict Arnold, probably not something that's going to make you too popular at your military school. And in the end, he did finally get his wish, and he was dismissed. So he was freed up to pursue this writing career that he was hoping to.
So Poe moved to New York in February of 1831, and he published a third collection called Poems. From there, he moved around between New York City, Baltimore, Richmond, and Philadelphia for the next few years in pursuit of his writing career. And for our purposes here, we're just going to cover some of the highlights of what he did during that time. By March of 1831, Poe returned to Baltimore to live with his Aunt Mariah Clem and his little cousin Virginia. And while there, he still struggled to earn a living, but he started to write stories as well, prose.
Yeah, and things did start to look up a little bit in 1833 when his story Manuscript Found in a Bottle won a $50 prize from a Baltimore weekly newspaper, and that finally started to get him noticed. And he also started writing reviews and stories for the Southern Literary Messenger. And by 1835, he even took a position as an editor there and made even more of a name for himself.
In the meantime, his brother and his foster father died. So a little more tragedy in his life. And his foster father, as we mentioned, left him nothing. Yeah. So he realized that he was really going to have to make a living on his own. And on September 22nd, 1835, another life milestone, he married his first cousin, Virginia Clem. And as you'll remember, we mentioned she was very young. Well, at the time of their marriage, she was only 13. And the marriage certificate listed her as 21, but that was incorrect. According to Loveday's article, Poe did wait for more than 2 years before consummating their marriage. So,
Poe would have been in his late 20s by then. It's always one of those facts that sticks with you about Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, big age difference.
But moving on to his career again, it's unclear whether it was voluntary or not, but Poe left his job at the Southern Literary Messenger. And according to Encyclopedia Britannica, he was fired probably because of his drinking. Drinking really seemed to become sort of a means of escape for him. But as we mentioned, he also had a very low tolerance for alcohol his entire life. So it didn't really take that much to make him appear very intoxicated. And even though he wasn't very intoxicated that often, again, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, he was, unfortunately, usually somewhere in public when he was drunk. So he got this reputation as being a public drunk. But after this, after leaving the Southern Literary Messenger or being fired, he and Virginia moved to New York City, where he reviewed articles for the New York Review while still pursuing his own projects, too.
By 1839, the couple had moved to Philadelphia, where he published Tales of the Grotesque and the Arabesque, a short story collection. He also started working as an editor for Burton's Gentleman's Magazine. And by the fall of 1841, he started working for kind of a successor to that magazine, Graham's Ladies and Gentlemen's Magazine. And this afforded him steady income, finally. And it's where he published The Murders in the Rue Morgue. So at this point, Poe's notoriety is really starting to grow. But like most of his jobs, the Graham's gig was short-lived. He quit by the middle of 1842 to work as a freelance writer and to also try to start his own publication, which was something that he would try to do here and there throughout the rest of his life. But he was never really successful with that part of it, with starting his own publication.
Couldn't follow the Dickens model. Really.
Nope. In 1844, he returned to New York, where he continued writing, and it was while there in 1845 that his poem, The Raven, was published, and it was instantly successful, making Poe very famous.
But despite his successes in the literary world that were happening around this time, this was still a very rough period for Poe. For one thing, Virginia became very ill. She'd contracted tuberculosis at some point in the early 1840s, and her health never really got better after that. And for his part, Poe wasn't doing so great either. His drinking continued to get worse, and this exacerbated his own health issues. And according to Loveday's article, he almost died in 1844 from heart failure. So not so great for Mr. and Mrs. Poe at this point.
With the fame the Raven brought him, Poe started doing lecture tours in the northeastern United States. And though he still struggled financially, he had quite a lot of social attention paid to him during this time. In 1845, for example, he received the attentions of the poet Frances Sargent Locke Osgood, and they had an affair, which was scandalous because she wrote poems about him, and so everybody knew what was going on between them because it was out there in print.
It's kind of like writing about him on her blog or something these days.
Yeah, kind of. Actually, that's a pretty good comparison, I think. But according to Encyclopedia Britannica, Poe's wife, for whatever reason, did not object to this relationship with Osgood. So people were scandalized by it, but she was kind of okay with it. And her health continued to deteriorate, and she finally died in January of 1847 at the age of 24.
So after his wife's death, Poe did publish a few things, including a lecture called Eureka, some poems, including The Bells and Annabel Lee. He also tried to start a magazine again, but once again, that didn't work. He did not succeed at running a magazine. But his final years are also marked by some serious relationships that he had with a couple of women. First, there was the Providence, Rhode Island-based poet named Sarah Helen Whitman. They actually became engaged in 1848, but she only agreed to marry him on the condition that he quit drinking. According to Loveday's article, Poe just couldn't control his feelings for her, and he tried to commit suicide by taking laudanum in November of 1848. After that, he relapsed, he started drinking again, and so Whitman broke off the engagement.
In 1849, continuing his lectures, he returned to Richmond for a while, and while he was there, he ran into his old flame from his teenage years, Elmira Royster, who just happened to be a widow by this point, by the name of Mrs. A.B. Shelton, and they rekindled their old romance. Well, Elmira was a teetotaler, too, and much like Sarah Whitman, she would not have approved of Poe drinking. Luckily, though, Poe decided to completely give up alcohol and may have been successful at this for several months. According to an article by Robert Hopkins in the Southern Quarterly, Poe even took a public oath on August 27th, 1849, at a Sons of Temperance meeting, in which he swore that he'd never touch another drop of liquor, and he signed a document to that effect as well.
So I guess old Elmira was convinced by this display, and so they became engaged and set their wedding date for October 17th. This is where things start to get a little weird in the story, though. Before the marriage was supposed to take place, Poe set off on a business trip to Philadelphia and New York. And while he was in New York, it's possible he was going to pick up his Aunt Mariah Clem, too, and bring her down to Richmond for the wedding. Well, I guess his former mother-in-law as well.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
He probably set off for this trip from Richmond around September 27th, 1849. And what happened after that is what's really uncertain.
Yeah, some say that he went straight to Baltimore and called on a friend, Dr. Nathan C. Brooks, but Brooks wasn't at home. And if Baltimore is the only stop that Poe made, then that still leaves several days unaccounted for, because there doesn't seem to be any information on what he was up to in town after that, for the following days after that. However, according to the Edgar Allan Poe Society of Baltimore, a Philadelphia friend of Poe's, Thomas H. Lane, who had worked for the Broadway Journal, later said that he believed Poe had come to Philadelphia and seen mutual friends of theirs while he was in town. Lane said that Poe also fell ill while he was in Philadelphia, but he still insisted on getting on a train to New York after his brief visit. He had business to do there. He was going to see Aunt Mariah, so he was going to head out. So Lane's theory is that Poe must have gotten on the wrong train and ended up back in Baltimore. But even if this Philadelphia visit did happen, and it's not clear whether it did or not, the exact dates aren't known, so there's a lot that's still very sketchy about this possibility in the story. A letter from Poe to Aunt Mariah Clem also confirms that he at least had intentions of heading to Philadelphia to meet another poet and edit her poems there. And he'd also told Aunt Mariah to write him directly in Philadelphia, as if he'd be there to receive it. But he did tell her to address her correspondence, instead of just addressing it to Edgar Allan Poe, address it to E.S.T. Gray Esquire. So kind of a shady aspect to the story.
Yeah, for sure. So what is known, though, what is known for sure, is that on October 3rd, 1849, Poe was found in a very, very bad way, lying outside of Ryan's Fourth Ward, Poles, Baltimore, which was basically a saloon, but voting also would take place there, too, and an election was going on in the city at the same time. It's hard to imagine bars doubling as polling stations today, but a man named J.W. Walker found Poe outside of this bar slash polling station, nearly unconscious and delirious, and strangely wearing somebody else's cheap, dirty, ill-fitting clothes. And according to Hopkins' article, Walker immediately sent a note to a Dr. J.E. Snodgrass, who was an acquaintance of Poe's, at Poe's own request, and this is what the note said. "Dear sir, there is a gentleman, rather worse for wear, at Ryan's Fourth Ward Polls, who goes under the name of Edgar A. Poe, and who appears in great distress, and he says he is acquainted with you, and I assure you, he is in need of immediate assistance."
Snodgrass and Henry Herring at that point, and Henry Herring was someone who had married one of Poe's aunts, showed up and took Poe to Washington College Hospital at about 5 p.m. that day. And while there, he was attended to by a resident named Dr. John Joseph Moran. So Poe was pretty much unconscious until the next day, but even when he was a little more coherent, he wasn't able to exactly tell the doctor how he came to be in his present state. After that, he became delirious on and off for a few days, and according to the Poe Society of Baltimore, more. At one point, cried out the name Reynolds, but no one's been able to figure out who he was referring to by that. It's just a interesting little detail we wanted to throw in.
Interesting indeed. But on Sunday, October 7th, 4 days after he was found outside of the saloon, Poe finally passed away. And that morning, his last words were, "God bless my poor soul." He was only 40 years old. So this brings us to our big question. What happened to Poe before he died, and what really caused his death?
Of course, most people at the time, as we already indicated, and even many people today, have believed that drinking was what ultimately killed him. This theory was actually sort of promoted at the time, even by Poe's acquaintance who helped him out, Dr. Snodgrass. According to Hopkins, though, we should take Snodgrass's perspective with a little grain of salt. He was apparently super religious and kind of used Poe's fate to illustrate what could happen to you if you indulged in the sin of drinking, almost as a cautionary tale of sorts. As Hopkins put it, Snodgrass went to, quote, great lengths to support his temperance cause at Poe's expense.
And a lot of the other people who spread the alcohol abuse theory were either coming from a similar perspective as the Snodgrass or getting their information secondhand. But Hopkins and some other sources say that it's unlikely that alcohol abuse is ultimately what killed Edgar Allan Poe. So Dr. Moran, for instance, who attended to Poe in his final days, actually published a book 30 years after the death called A Defense of Edgar Allan Poe, in which he said, quote, "I have stated to you the fact that Edgar Allan Poe did not die under the effect of an intoxicant, nor was the smell of liquor upon his breath or person." Although we have to say, too, a lot of people discount Moran's opinions here because apparently he changed his story quite significantly from what he said right after Poe's death. And Hopkins even points out that Moran changed his opinion only after certain key temperance promoters who were very closely involved in the situation passed away. So there might have been some sort of conspiracy involved there, too.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, was he just telling the truth later in life?
Waiting for certain people to no longer be there, or whether he just changed his story for something, a new, interesting angle.
Right. There are, however, some other more straightforward signs that alcohol may not have been the cause of death. For example, while in the hospital, Poe got better before he then again got worse and died, which, according to the University of Maryland Medical Center, isn't consistent with alcohol withdrawal. So I think that's
some medical background.
Interesting
here
little science background.
So still, though, if drinking too much didn't kill Poe, what might have killed him? You don't usually just wind up dead outside of a saloon. So some people believe that he was the victim of a type of political sabotage known as cooping. And as we mentioned, there was an election going on at the time, and the saloon did double as a place to go vote. So cooping supposedly involved political gangs kidnapping bystanders and then holding them for a while in a room called a coop, and then forcing them, after they'd gotten them kind of liquored up or drugged up, to illegally vote in multiple polling locations. And sometimes these gangs would even have their victims change clothing so that they wouldn't be recognized when they were voting multiple times in the same area. This whole thing sounds kind of terrifying to me, the idea of cooping. Some people, though, discount this theory for a few different reasons. For one, Poe is a celebrity of his day, almost. He was pretty well known, and he probably would have been recognized even if he were wearing these different ratty sort of clothes.
Also, some say that there is a lack of evidence that the practice of cooping really existed in the first place.
So I don't need to be too worried, maybe?
Maybe not. I'm not sure. I mean, there definitely was a lot of plying with alcohol going on in general. I mean, having polling places and bars, which was often the case, kind of encouraged that. But there were accounts in contemporary publications that were citizens were warned about the very real possibility of cooping in the days right before leading up to the election. So people at the time at least believed that cooping was going on and was a real possibility. So
go vote with your friends. Vote in a group.
Yeah, be careful. So go ahead and be scared, Sarah. Could have happened.
All right, next time I go vote. But also, Hopkins points out a cryptic statement that was made by J.H. Morrison after Poe's death. And in a letter to John Ingram, Morrison suggests Poe's cousin Nelson might have known something about the circumstances surrounding Poe's death. And he said, quote, "The story of Poe's death has never been told. Nelson Poe has all the facts, but I am afraid may not be willing to tell them. I do not see why Poe came to the city in the midst of an election, and that election was the cause of his death."
So one interesting point to make here about the involvement of Cousin Nelson is that Nelson was, in fact, elected a judge in that 1849 election. Also, Nelson and Poe did not get along well at all. Some say that Nelson had had his own designs on marrying Virginia Clemm, but of course she ended up with Poe.
So, those are some of the political type conspiracy theories, but several diseases have also been suggested as the causes of Poe's death. And some of the possibilities that folks have thrown out over the years include brain tumors, heart disease, cholera, stroke, and diabetes. And then in 1984, a biohistorian named Arno Karlin came out with the theory that Poe had this rare type of enzyme disorder called alcohol dehydrogenase deficiency syndrome. And he had that perhaps in combination with a brain tumor. So Hopkins says that the syndrome is an interesting theory because it could perhaps explain Poe's lifelong low tolerance of alcohol, as well as some of his mental issues and, of course, his death, too.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
One of the more recent and popular medical malady theories, though, is rabies. According to the University of Maryland Medical Center, Dr. R. Michael Benitez reviewed Poe's case, and in 1996, he proposed that Poe's symptoms in the final days of his life were, in fact, consistent with the progression of rabies. This could be possible, even though there weren't any apparent animal bites on Poe at the time. Poe was known to be an animal lover. He loved cats in particular, and he did keep pets. And people can sometimes, according to the source, can have rabies up to a year without showing symptoms, which I actually didn't know before.
Another disturbing fact from the podcast.
One of the symptoms Benitez was including in his assessment, though, was hydrophobia, a fear of water that Poe supposedly exhibited when he had trouble drinking in the hospital. However, that account of Poe not drinking came from one of our friend Dr. Moran's many accounts of the situation, and he contradicted it in another later account. So some discount this rabies theory because of that, too.
It does make a good headline, though. You've got to give it that. But finally, a lot of people think Poe died as the result of some kind of conspiracy. And, of course, it already sounds like we've discussed these conspiracy theories because there's a touch of conspiracy mixed in with some of the earlier theories, like the alcohol line conspiracy by temperance movement folks to get their agenda across, and the cooping, you know, the possible conspiracy involving Poe's cousin, who was running for office. But some think Poe's romantic entanglements might have led to a plot against him as well. And for instance, Elmira Royster Shelton's brothers might not have been too happy about that impending marriage to their sister. And some authors have tossed that out there as a possibility.
Hopkins actually points to an account of Joseph Sartrain's as potential evidence that something like this was in fact going on. Joseph Sartrain had worked with Poe at Graham's Magazine, and after Poe's death, he had come out with kind of a shocking account of his last encounter with Poe. According to Sartrain's account, he saw Poe in Philadelphia in 1849, and Poe was afraid for his life at this time, asking for Sartrain's protection and saying that he had overheard some men on the train plotting to kill him. When Sartrain asked, "Why would someone want to kill you?" Poe said, quote, "It was for revenge for, quote, a woman trouble."
So another intriguing possibility, but many people, though, believe that the most likely conspirator against Poe was Rufus W. Griswold. And Griswold had aspired to be a fiction writer, but didn't really have the talent, ended up becoming an editor instead. And he and Poe brushed paths professionally on many occasions, and the two men just didn't really like each other. And Hopkins suggests that Griswold may have been perhaps jealous of Poe's talent, though Griswold apparently claimed upon Poe's death that Poe had made a promise that he wanted Griswold to be his literary executor. But according to Hopkins, no legal proof of this agreement exists. Still, though, Griswold did become Poe's executor and his first biographer, and likely got the opportunity to print some inaccuracies about Poe and profit at the same time.
Yeah, he also printed this note after Poe's death in a New York paper, and it was kind of scathing about Poe. It just wasn't very flattering at all. So he got a couple of opportunities after Poe's death to kind of get in.
A couple hits in there, yeah.
Yeah. So there are a number of theories and sub-theories out there, as you can see, about why and how Poe really died. But unfortunately, no one knows for sure what the real story is. And as you can tell by what we've recounted so far, there are just too many personalities and possible hidden agendas involved to really get to the heart of what happened. It's just a bunch of possibilities that we can sort of
mull over
for a while and debate about, but we can't really get a definitive answer. But in the end, despite his fame, Poe was buried hurriedly in Westminster Presbyterian Churchyard in Baltimore with only a handful of people present. In 2009, though, which was about 160 years after his death, Baltimore's Poe House and Museum threw Poe another larger funeral, too, in fact, I think, that had something like 700 people in attendance. So,
people do continue, of course, to celebrate the author, to look into his life and his death. I mean, I have to say, one of my favorite Poe things is The Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors. It's a classic. But, on whatever level, whether it's a cartoon like that or whether it's a serious study of his work, people still clearly appreciate his writing today, and it still resonates with people.
So true. And I mean, when it comes to this mystery, it's fun to talk about and to explore all these possibilities, but I have to wonder, do we really want to know the answer? I mean, isn't it sort of fitting in a way that Poe's own story has this element of mystery to it?
It's Poe-like.
It is very Poe-like. And with that, I think that we are going to close out this episode about Poe, but it's been really fun to talk about him. If you have any favorite Poe stories or poems that we didn't mention
Or theories.
Yes. I mean, we talked about a few of them here, but we know that there are many that we didn't touch on, and many aspects, even of the ones that we did touch on, that we didn't really have time to include in this.
Flesh out completely.
Yes. In this fairly succinct, but not so succinct podcast. I think we've rambled on for a little while, but definitely share those with us and let us know if there's anything else about the story you'd like us to look into. You can find us at historypodcast@discovery.com. We're also on Facebook, and you can also find us on Twitter at Missing History.
And if you want to learn a little bit more about rare books, we do have an article called 10 Rare Books. And didn't you say one of his works is included in that article?
Tamerlane and Other Poems is number 8 on that list.
Okay, so
I believe.
You can go read about it. And to do that, go to our homepage and search for 10 Rare Books. It's at www.howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.